our town.
Hello, neighbors. Welcome back to Nightmare Town. I'm your host, Mandemonium, and I'm flying solo today. Betty Boom had some things to attend to, and just as she did for me a few weeks ago, I'm going to cover her while she takes a much-needed break. I want all of our neighbors to send Betty a big virtual hug, if you will, please. Our next episode was going to be moist, but we're going to save that for when Betty's back so we can both make you cringe every time we say the word moist together. Today, I want to talk about three particular ladies who were members of the Dutch Resistance in 1945. Their names were Hanny Schaft and sisters Freddy and Truss Overstegen. They did many things, but killing Nazis in the woods was their claim to fame. Germany invaded Holland in May 1940, conquering it in 4 days, but many remained in the fight. At the time, Freddy was 14, Truss was 16, and Hanny was 19. Freddy and her sister Truss grew up in the city of Haarlem with a single working-class mother. Their mother taught them the importance of fighting injustice. Freddy and Truss learned that if you have to help somebody, like refugees, you have to make sacrifices for yourself, says Heron Pleister, sorry for butchering that name, chair of the National Hanny Schaft Foundation. The girls joined their mother in distributing anti-Nazi newspapers and pamphlets for the resistance. We also glued warnings across German posters in the street, calling men to work in Germany, Freddy later recalled in interviews she and her sister did with anthropologist Elise Jonker, collected in the book Under Fire, Women in World War II. And then we'd hurry off on our bikes. These acts were dangerous. If the Nazis or Dutch police caught the sisters, they might have killed them. In 1941, a commander with the Haarlem Resistance Group visited their house to ask their mother if he could recruit Freddy and Truss. Their mother said yes, and the sisters agreed. At first, they just helped with things like luring Nazis to areas where someone would kill them. The girls, being young and innocent-looking, were easy to fool the Nazis, as they didn't look like anyone who'd be part of a resistance. They also helped by sabotaging bridges and railroads using dynamite and smuggling Jewish children out of the country. So, to say the least, these young girls were complete badasses. Also, the Overstegen family hid a Jewish couple in their home for the entirety of the war. Freddy and Truss eventually learned to shoot Nazis, and the sisters began to go on assassination missions by themselves. Boss von Benda Beckman, a former researcher at the Netherlands Institute for War, Holocaust, and Genocide Studies, is quoted as saying, "They were unusual, these girls, because there were a lot of women involved in the resistance in the Netherlands, but not so much in the way these girls were. There are not that many examples of women who actually shot collaborators themselves." On these missions, Freddy was especially good at following a target or keeping a lookout during missions since she looked so young and unsuspecting, especially when her hair was in tight braids, which she wore often to further deceive these Nazis and collaborators. Both sisters shot to kill, but they never revealed how many Nazis and Dutch collaborators they assassinated. Freddy would often tell people who asked that she and her sister were soldiers, and soldiers don't say. Freddy was the first of the girls to shoot a Nazi in a drive-by on her bicycle. Her bike, guys. I can't reiterate how young these girls were, and they were just throwing themselves into the fight against Nazis and collaborators. They would go into bars to meet Nazis and would often ask them to go for a stroll. Usually these Nazis and collaborators would follow, thinking they were in for a good time, which is gross because, again, these girls looked very young and innocent on purpose, so nobody would think that they were part of their resistance. And they were also just actually young girls, so they looked young and unsuspecting. These Nazis would ultimately meet their ends from these young girls shooting them once they got them into the woods. I'm going to take a short break, and then we will learn about Hanny, the friend of the Overstegen family that was just as much of a badass bitch as these girls were. And we're back, and we are ready to talk about the legendary Hanny Schaft. She was also born in Haarlem, so kind of the same area as the previous girls. Her mother was a Mennonite, and her father, Peter Schaft, was attached to the Social Democratic Workers' Party. The two were very protective of Shaft because of the death due to diphtheria of her older sister, Anna, in 1927. From a young age, Shaft liked to talk about politics and social justice with her family, which encouraged her to pursue law and become a human rights lawyer. During her law studies at the University of Amsterdam, she befriended two Jewish students by the names of Sonja Frank and Feline Pollock. This made her feel strongly about actions against the Jews. With the German occupation of the Netherlands in World War II, in 1943, university students were required to sign a declaration of allegiance to the occupation authorities. When Shaft refused to sign the petition in support of the occupation forces, like 80% of the other students, she could not continue her studies, and in the summer of 1943, she moved back in with her parents again, taking Frank and Pollock with her, who later went into hiding. Shaft started resistance work with small acts, like stealing ID cards for Jewish residents, including her friends. She also joined the Council of Resistance. Shaft didn't just want to be a courier for the resistance, however, she wanted to work with weapons. She was responsible for sabotaging and assassinating various targets. On June 21, 1944, Shaft and Jan Bonkamp, a friend in the resistance, carried out an assassination in Zaandam on Dutch police officer and collaborator William Ragout. Shaft first fired and hit Ragout in the back. Bonkamp was shot in the stomach by Ragout before killing him. Mortally wounded, Bonkamp fled the scene, but was arrested shortly afterwards and taken to the hospital. There, he inadvertently gave Shaft's name and address to Dutch Nazi nurses, feigning to be resistance workers. To force Shaft to confess, German authorities arrested her parents and sent them to a concentration camp. The distress of the situation and her grief over Bonkamp's death forced Shaft to cease resistance work temporarily. Her parents were finally released after 2 months. Hanny learned to speak German fluently to aid in her Nazi killing efforts once she jumped back in. She also had no mercy for collaborators or traitors. However, she did draw the line at harming children. When the resistance asked her to kidnap the children of a Nazi official, she said no. The kidnapping and killing children was too much like the acts of terror the Nazis were doing, so she refused. Which is awesome, considering that she was pretty, like, merciless about a lot of this and was, like, pretty gung-ho, but she straight up was like, no, we're not killing children, even children of Nazis, because fuck Nazis. Hanny became so well known, actually, that she made the top of the Nazis' most wanted list as the girl with the red hair. So naturally, she dyed her hair black and added a pair of glasses to her disguise, which was enough to fool them. The Oversteegen sisters survived the war and received numerous awards for their heroic actions. Both lived to be 92 years old. Hanny, however, was unfortunately arrested for carrying anti-Nazi propaganda through a military checkpoint in March of 1945. She was repeatedly tortured, but would not confess. Eventually, the red roots of her hair growing in gave her away. They'd unfortunately caught Hanny, the girl with the red hair. On April 17, 1945, with the end of World War II only a few weeks away, she was executed by a pair of Dutch Nazi traitors. One shot her at close range, only wounding her. She yelled out at him, "I shoot better." Then the second Nazi fired a second time, killing her. Switching gears now, I found a Vice interview from several years ago with Freddie Oversteegen. She was in her 90s at the time, and I thought it would be interesting to read, so figured I'd share with our neighbors. Starting the interview, Vice says, "I understand we don't have a lot of time for the interview," and Freddie replied, "That's right. I'm meeting some people to play Scrabble at 2. I do that twice a week. You can't let people down if you've agreed to join." "Do you win often?" "No comment," says Freddie. "You were 14 when you and your sister Truce, who was 16 at the time, were asked to fight in the resistance. Did your mother agree right away?" "A man wearing a hat came to the door and asked my mother if he could ask us, and he did, so yes, she was okay with it." "Where was your father?" "My mother had divorced him, which was pretty unusual for that time. She was just fed up one day. We lived on a large ship in Harlem, but my father never made any money and didn't pay anything for the barge. But it wasn't an ugly divorce or anything. He sang a French farewell song from the bow of the ship when we left. He loved us, but I didn't see him that often anymore after that." "And the three of you went to live somewhere else?" "Yes, in a flat where we slept on straw mattresses. My mother had made those herself. I come from a very original family. We didn't have much, but my mother always figured something out, and we were always singing. A bit later, we got a baby brother from a different father. Were you hiding any people in your house as well? Yes, definitely. Before the war started in the Netherlands, when we were still living on the boat, we had some people from Lithuania hidden in the hold of the ship. And during the war, we had a Jewish couple living with us, which is why my sister and I knew a lot about what was going on. But they were supposed to be our enemy because they were capitalists and we were communists. When you were asked to join the resistance, did you have any idea what that would entail? No. I thought we would be starting a kind of secret army. The man that came to our door said that we would get military training, and they did teach us a thing or two. Someone taught us to shoot, and we learned to march in the woods. There were about 7 of us then. Hanny wasn't a part of the group yet, and we were the only girls. Much later, a Nazi big shot was killed in those same woods, and he was buried there as well. But Truce and I weren't allowed to be there when that happened. They felt like that wasn't something girls should see. What was your role in that mission? I didn't shoot him. One of the men did. I had to keep an eye on my sister and keep a lookout from a vantage point in the woods to see if no one was coming. Truce had met him in an expensive bar, seduced him, and then took him for a walk in the woods. She was like, "Wanna go for a stroll?" And of course he wanted to. Then they ran into someone, which was made to seem a coincidence, but he was one of ours. And that friend said to Truce, "Girl, you know you're not supposed to be here." They apologized, turned around, and walked away, and then the shots were fired, so that man never knew what hit him. They had already dug the hole, but we weren't allowed to be there for that part. And you were okay with that? Yes, I didn't want to see that. They later told us that they had taken off all his clothes, so you couldn't tell who he was. I think he might still be there. You were 2 years younger than your sister. Was she the brave one of the two of you? When we were little, she'd always say, "This is my beautiful sister," and that was true. She was an unsightly child. But she was the brave one, and she was very good at public speaking. She did a lot of that after the war as well. She always knew her speech by heart. She never needed any notes, but that's changed now. You did mention that she is suffering from dementia. Did the two of you used to talk about the war a lot? Yes, always. We never had to say "remember when" because it was always at the top of our minds. Truce worked through her war trauma partly with the art that she made. How did you cope? By getting married and having babies, and I often babysat Truce's children as well, because she was very busy. She'd visit Hanny a lot. I've always been a little jealous of her because she got so much attention after the war, but then I just think, I was in the resistance as well. You know what I'm gonna do now? What? Make a sandwich and have a cup of tea. I've been up since 6. And that's the story and legacy of 3 young, brave women who thwarted Nazis. I hope you all enjoyed this little look into some history today. My sources this week are from history.com, jamesfell.substack.com, vice.com, and Wikipedia as always. I will have all of these linked below in the description of this episode. If you have your own stories to tell or ideas for the hat, please hit us up at nightmaretown18@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And you can come hang out with us on TikTok now. We're having a lot of fun over there, mainly gearing up for spooky season. You can also check out our link tree in the description of this episode, which will link to all of our socials, so you can just find us easier with one click. And our shop, where we now have merch like bags and water bottles and t-shirts and all kinds of other cool things. You'll also find our Patreon there. Speaking of which, if you would like some extra content from time to time and our episodes early, head on over to our Patreon and feel free to check out the different tiers. That's about it for my spiel. Again, I'm Mandemonium, and until next time, tell us a story. Bye!